My name is Nathan LeBenz. For those of you that I didn't have the chance to meet last night at the lovely reception, pleasure to meet you now. It is always a great pleasure for me to be an MC at an EA Global event. And I really could not be more excited to be here on campus at Harvard University this weekend. I was actually an undergrad here myself a number of years ago, just a few years ago. And it was actually, believe it or not, in this very lecture hall in Science Center D that I had my intro to molecular biology. And it was a great course, and it really left an impression on me that the future was going to be quite different from the past. At the time, the Human Genome Project had just been declared complete. You'll hear more about that, I think, over the course of the next really just few hours, because George Church, who played a key role in getting it started, will be speaking here later this afternoon. But so the Human Genome Project had just been completed. It took 20 years. And in the course of the semester, the SARS virus was blowing up and breaking out around the world. And our professor was working with scientists around the world to try to figure out what was this new thing. And we were getting dispatches from the frontier, seemingly on a monthly basis as we went along. You know, new discoveries had been made, that the virus had been sequenced. So you really had the sense that what had just taken a couple decades for humans was now compressed into just a few months for a virus that nobody had even heard of before. So how much change was ahead of us? Well, obviously the human genome has been a little bit more stubborn about giving up its secrets than we might have expected at that time. But this, for me, is still really the perfect place to have a conference focused on the frontiers of effective altruism. And indeed, we have an unbelievable program for you over the next couple of days with speakers on a variety of topics ranging from emerging technologies like CRISPR, blockchains, and artificial intelligence, opportunities to reduce suffering like plant-based meats and meat alternatives, challenges such as the reproducibility crisis in science, and the role that EAs can play in government, and of course, much more. You certainly won't be able to do it all, but I trust that you will all make the most of this incredible opportunity. Just one piece of housekeeping this morning before we get started. Most speakers will be taking Q&A at the end of their talks. You can submit your questions either on the official conference app, or if you have not downloaded that app, you can also go to boston.eaglobal.org/polls. boston.eaglobal.org/polls. You will only be able to submit one question for each speaker, so think carefully before you do that. And also note that I'll be moderating them, and your MC in the various rooms will be moderating along the way. So go ahead and do it in the midst of the talk, and then you'll have your question sort of asked and answered at the end. So, with that, to begin our program, it is my pleasure to introduce Will McCaskill. Will is a philosopher. He studied philosophy as an undergraduate at Cambridge and later earned a PhD at Oxford, where he became the youngest tenured philosophy professor in the world. Unusually, though, among philosophers, and this is what really distinguishes Will in my mind, is that he is a person of action. He is really committed to making a difference in the world through his individual decisions, and also by leading and inspiring others. In 2009, to that end, he co-founded Giving What We Can, which has helped direct millions of pounds to effective charities around the world. In 2011, he also co-founded 80,000 Hours, a career consulting organization that advises talented young people on the career paths that can create the most positive impact on the world while also keeping in mind each person's unique goals and values. 80,000 Hours, by the way, we'll have workshops here in room 109 both today and tomorrow, so you can check that out and get some career advising for yourselves. Will is admired by many for his personal commitment to donating the majority of his income throughout his life to charity. He is the CEO of the Center for Effective Altruism, which is sponsoring today's event, and he is here to speak about the EA Year in Review, give you some notes on the conference, and also to make a special announcement. Please join me in welcoming, to kick off the conference, Professor Will McCaskill.
Thank you. Well, Hello, EA Global 2017. It's an absolute delight to be here. It was so nice to last night see so many familiar faces and old friends, but then also get to know some new people doing really inspiring things around the world. I go to a lot of conferences and events related to philanthropy, and there's nothing that really compares at all to the EA Global conferences in terms of both how just committed and how morally serious the attendees of this conference are, and how reflective, how willing people are to actually try and work out how can I, as an individual, try and help the world as much as possible, and being willing to change their mind in the light of new arguments and good evidence. In this talk, I'm going to do a couple of things. I'm going to give a little bit of a recap, kind of year in review, talk about some of the changes that have happened in the EA community, some of the impacts we've had. I'm then going to give a world-exclusive announcement. I won't tell you what that is yet. I'm going to keep you waiting. And then I'm going to just give a little bit of an overview of, you know, perhaps the attitude that you should have kind of going into this conference and what this conference is going to be about. So with respect to a year in the view, I think, you know, being effective altruists, what we care about is the impact that we have. And it's really easy, I think, to forget about just actually the size of the impact that we've been having. So this is just some highlights of what's happened over the last year. And it's definitely not the case that the effective altruism community is responsible for all of this impact, but is responsible for a very significant amount of it. So, for example, Against Malaria Foundation secured distributions for 17 million bed nets. That's 34 million children protected against malaria. Again, it's very hard to appreciate numbers of this size, but that's the equivalent of the entire population of Malawi, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Namibia. And that's just one year. And I mean, again, in terms of thinking about the numbers and the impact of that, like I think about, well, what if my niece or my nephew was at risk of malaria? Think how kind of important it would be to me for them to be protected against that disease. And then think, and that's pretty great. That's like a pretty big, important thing that I would think in my own life and certainly in theirs. And then multiply that 34 million times over. And that's actually what's happened over the last year. Secondly, within the animal welfare space, corporate cage-free egg campaigns have just been unbelievably successful, with most of the largest restaurants and fast food companies agreeing to move to cage-free rather than caged hens. And that is, again, vast in terms of the impact on reducing suffering. That's sparing 225 million hens from cages over the course of just one year, and that will happen every year. And this is really unprecedented in the history of animal activism to have wins on this size. And it seems to me that this is what moral progress looks like. This is what it looks like to be the beginning of the end of factory farming. And again, through the work of the people at organizations running these campaigns, many of whom consider themselves part of the effective altruism community, and through funding from places like Open Philanthropy, that's what's causing this to happen. And then finally, within the issue of radical new technology, you know, for many years, people within this community were talking about concerns for safe development of artificial intelligence, and many people thought they were complete wackos. But now things are very different. Now this is becoming like a mainstream, very respectable concern. So at the recent Asilomar conference on beneficial AI, it was just absolutely part of the kind of common sense attitude towards the ethics of development of this technology that you would think about the control problem and about safety concerns. And even people who were skeptical that this was really a big issue would still say, of course, this is an important thing. This is something that we should be, at least some people should be taking very seriously. And that, I think, makes the world feel to me like quite a lot safer than it was before. With respect to organizational updates then, tons has been going on. I think it's really hard for me to be comprehensive. But I highlighted Charity Science Health last year as an organization I was particularly excited about because this was an organization coming from the EA community that was trying to say, we are aiming to become a GiveWell top recommended charity. And they do this by having SMS reminders for people to get immunizations in India. And they received a GiveWell incubation grant, which is an indication that GiveWell might think, yeah, this actually has a chance of doing what they're intending to do, becoming a top recommended charity. A number of the EA organizations have been moving larger and larger amounts of money. So Life You Can Save estimated it's moved $2.7 million to effective global poverty charities. Founders Pledge, which gets startup founders to pledge at least 2% of their equity, has moved, I think, over $130 million, or raised in pledges over $130 million over the last year, and moved about $1.4 million to effective charities. Raising for Effective Giving also raised over $1.4 million. Animal Charity Evaluators moved about $3.4 million to its top recommended charities within the animal welfare space. So again, just year on year, we seem to be getting more and more money going to these very most effective organizations, which is really exciting. Other kind of updates in terms of organizational changes. Dot Impact rebranded as Rethinking Charity, which incorporates the Local Effective Altruism Network and Students for High Impact Charity. Sentience Politics, which was run by the Effective Altruism Foundation in Berlin, has kind of branched off and become its own thing. Sentience Institute, which does animal advocacy research. And the Oxford University Academic Institute for Effective Altruism, which I'm helping to set up, has come into existence, taking its first staff member at least, and has kind of regular seminar series. And the hope is that that can really get going as of October this year. And that would be trying to make research into effective altruism much more mainstream within academia, especially within philosophy and economics. In terms of some of the major organizations, Center for Effective Altruism increased again its number of pledges, now getting close to 3,000 people who've taken a 10% pledge to give, and who collectively have made $1.4 billion of lifetime pledge donations. We went through Y Combinator, which was a pretty exhilarating experience. It's kind of nice to be in a program where you regularly feel like the least competent person in the room. And that was definitely the experience at least I had there. And we also launched the EA Funds, which was a way of trying to enable people in the effective altruism community to give super effectively, especially to cause areas outside of global poverty where and animal welfare, where there are existing kind of charity evaluators. But that isn't the same within long-run future-focused philanthropy or effective altruism community building. 80,000 Hours had an absolutely huge year. I think it's best ever year, I would say. Launched the 80,000 Hours paperback. Got over 1.3 million readers on its site. I think that's 3x growth from last year. And actually grew 10 times in terms of its leading metric, going up to 1,000 significant plan changes. This amazing growth is correlated very closely with the time when I was less involved. So maybe that's like how I can have most impact in the world, is by keeping my big nose out of it. GiveWell, again, just doing outstanding work, added 3 new top recommended charities to its list, the End Fund, Malaria Consortium, and Sight Savers, and moved what it estimates to be about $90 million to its top charities. With GiveWell, an increasingly important part of its work is providing incubation grants, where rather than trying to find existing nonprofits that it thinks could be even more cost-effective than Against Malaria Foundation, it's trying to say, okay, well, maybe there are ones that are not there yet, but they're embryonic, and we could give them some funding, and they could potentially become top recommended charities in the future. And it's given those grants to a number of different organizations, New Incentives, No Lean Season, Charity Science Health, IDI Insight, Salts for Development, and Innovations for Poverty Action. And so hopefully through these grants in the coming years, we're going to get even more cost-effective organizations that we can fund within global health and development. But then in terms of the organization I think I'm going to focus on most, and I think is most important in terms of updates, because often I think people don't appreciate just how much is going on there, is the Open Philanthropy Project. So over the last year, it gave over $180 million in grants, over 100 separate grants in the last 12 months. And notably has been moving more and more into cause areas outside of global health and development, especially factory farming and global catastrophic risks. And you can see this from the most major grants. So did include top recommended charities you'll be familiar with, like AMF and Schistosomiasis Control Initiative, but also more speculative scientific research, such as Target Malaria, which is developing work on CRISPR, which has the potential to eradicate malaria that we can learn more about today, but also within biosecurity, in a donation to John Hopkins Center for Health Security, and in benefits and risks from artificial intelligence, such as in a donation to OpenAI. And you can see this as well, this is me collated, the funding that they've given in different kind of cause areas. And so, of course, global health and development is still a really significant part of what they're doing, but it now accounts for about a third of their spending. So it's these other areas that are ramping up a lot more. And that's really important strategically, I think, for the effective altruism community. So effective altruism, you know, historically has been very associated with charity, moving money, and especially within global health and development, I think that's still true. You know, Against Malaria Foundation, other GiveWell top charities, they still have very large funding gaps, ways that we could still use money extremely well. But these other areas like farm animal welfare and global catastrophic risks, they're still very nascent. Part of the reason why they're such effective opportunities to change the world is because the fields are currently very small. But now we've got this very large funder coming in and just wanting to fund the most effective things in these areas. And that means to a significant extent, the bottleneck is going to be capacity of the organizations that are doing really great work and existence of just really high performing organizations. And that's a capacity, that's the bottleneck more than simply funding. And that means we need to think a little bit differently in these areas than perhaps we would in the area of global health and development. And it's for this reason that I can move on to my world exclusive announcement. I'm worried I'm building it up a little bit too much and you're going to be really disappointed now. But this is what's going on partly in our thinking, where we want to start being able to build more capacity. And so we're launching a scheme that we call Effective Altruism Grants. For those of you who remember the Effective Altruism Ventures, it has some similarity with that. But the key idea is it's just a way of using money to fund individuals rather than organizations to go on and do great things. Where that might mean that they've got, a startup project that they need seed funding for, whether that means they want to move full time into organizing for local effective altruism groups, whether that means they want to transition from one career to another, whether that means they need to undergo some sort of training like a fellowship or postgraduate work. In principle, we're open to funding any project or activity. The idea is just that within the money that we can use to fund this stuff, it's going to be one of the best, you know, it has to just be the best use of money out of the pot that we have. And we're willing to spend up to about £100,000 per person here. We expect most grants might be a lot smaller than that. But if people have more major projects, then we would be happy to fund up to that amount. And the key idea is just we don't want people to be unable to pursue what they think is the highest impact path because of kind of funding constraints or because of maybe fear about plans not working out and therefore not being able to sustain themselves. And I think this is going to accomplish a few things. So one is obviously just the direct benefit of funding great projects. A second is this hope to build capacity where perhaps we can get other projects off the ground that can then be funded at a more substantial scale by organizations like the Open Philanthropy Project. Hopefully it's going to provide opportunities for people who aren't from as financially secure backgrounds to take more risky paths with respect to their careers, because it can give people a little bit of a buffer if they are transitioning from different career paths. And then also we're hoping it increases the diversity of approaches in effective altruism. I mean, one of the things that's been really striking from my perspective is over the last few years how much convergence there's been from Center for Effective Altruism, 80,000 Hours on one hand, and GiveWell and Open Philanthropy Project on the other, where, you know, when I launched Giving What We Can, the conversations I would have with Holden were, you know, not necessarily the most civil. We disagreed on like an awful lot, whereas there's been a lot more convergence. And that's obviously great. It's hopefully a sign that we're just getting to the right answers and updating our views. But you also have risks as well. Like, we don't want EA to be a monolith. We want there to be many different people pursuing many different lines of approach with respect to making the world better. And that would, you know, benefit in terms of getting information and, that others can then incorporate into their plans. So there's a bunch of ways that we can potentially use this. So, for example, if you are transitioning from one career to another, if you're taking an unpaid internship or graduate study, pursuing research. Again, I would just love to see more ideas coming out of effective altruism. This has been the key way in which we've added value to the world, ultimately, is by coming up to ideas that then major organizations like Open Philanthropy have adopted, or doing full-time kind of EA outreach as well. Example of some projects that we'd like to see, especially I think EA outreach in countries that we don't have much of a presence in. From my perspective, China is kind of particularly important. I think China is clearly going to be one of the most influential countries of the 21st century. Got very limited presence there at the moment. But it's going to be incredibly important, and having some of our like these ideas and the conversations that effective altruism is about as part of that, I think can only be good for the world. I'd love to see more experimentation among local groups as well. There's this idea that I keep trying to convince people to do of anti-debates, where local on university campuses, debating is this really big thing. And I loathe debating. I think it's like this evil institution where you have to stand up and like pretend you have views that you don't have, and then use rhetoric in order to make your opponent look dumb and then win this kind of rhetorical argument. And so the idea of an anti-debate would be that two people who disagree can get, like, they sit on a stage and then have this conversation where there's a panel of judges that assess them, and if they, you know, change their mind in the light of good arguments, you get points. So you win by like being the person who changes their mind, or if you have good arguments, or if clear, or if you're able to represent the other person's point of view very well. That's the way you win this anti-debate, rather than by being able to score kind of cheap rhetorical tricks. So that's just like a personal pet idea of mine, but I think there's many ideas that we could have that local groups could be doing that are putting some of the interesting ideas that float around EA like actually into practice. So similarly, the idea of prediction tournaments, you can have working groups that are trying to predict major events over the next year, and perhaps we could subsidize them so you've got real money on the line with respect to putting money behind these predictions. Or another pet idea of mine is Dragon's Den style. This might not work for everyone, but Dragon's Den style career workshops where you can stand up in front of a group of your peers and say what your plans are for changing the world, and then everyone can offer you constructive criticism about those plans, or maybe in a more friendly way offer ways that they can help out as well. And then I also think one thing in general I'd love to see more of is a bit more specialization as well, actually, where Another big change strategically with respect to thinking about effective altruism is just the community is a lot larger now. And that means that for lots of people's career decisions, the question is, what ought we as a community to do, rather than what ought I as an individual to do? And that means there's much more value in people pursuing a variety of different paths. So that might mean not building up kind of more general purpose skills, but instead building up specific skills, for example, in biology, because you can potentially work with Kevin Esfeldt, who you'll hear from later, or political science to understand how kind of governments and policy work. And that can be really good because you know that other people are pursuing paths where they're building up perhaps more general skills. But like I say, really, we're just very open to this. We want to see kind of what sort of ideas are coming out of the effective autism community. What are the ways in which we can support those ideas and just make really great projects happen? And the deadline for this, I should say, is the 1st of July. It's kind of tight turnaround time. This time, we're kind of running it on a smaller scale. But this is so that we can hopefully administer some grants in time for the coming academic year. So then briefly, how to use this conference. So this conference is, you don't just shake hands with people, you know, have conversations too. This conference is about new frontiers in effective altruism, with a particular focus on policy and government and a particular focus on new technology. And this relates a bit to what I was saying earlier, is that many people kind of outside of the community think of effective altruism as just this approach to charity. It's a kind of cool way to do good through your charitable donations a bit better. But I see it as much broader than that. I see effective altruism as consisting of three things, really. One is the desire to help other people by as much as possible. Two is the use of evidence and careful reasoning in order to figure out how best to do that. And then third is just the audacity to actually try, and do as much good as you can. And this mindset that's incorporated by these three things, that's applicable to all sorts of decisions that have an impact on the world. That's not just charity. That does include how ought we to be allocating research funding? How ought we to be making kind of decisions in the policy or political realm as well? We can apply these same standards of thinking of things in terms of their outcomes, in terms of how they benefit other people, and this commitment to the highest standards of rigor and careful reasoning. So we can do these things in these other areas, and I really think we should. And so with this conference, I'd really encourage you to explore these areas, to think about how you could perhaps move into paths that are very different from how you've currently been thinking, where perhaps you were aiming to earn to give or going into consulting or something. You hadn't even thought about going into learning about policy or going into some sort of technological work. But I'd encourage you to think about, well, is this actually a possibility for me? How might I be able to contribute? You can still think about, well, what does the EA lens look like when applied to these areas? So that's the approach that I think you should kind of take to this conference. But it looks like it's going to be an amazing lineup, and I think we're going to both learn an awful lot and hopefully have a great time too. So I'm now able to take questions if you like.
Can I have a seat? So. Great. So we've got a few minutes at least for questions, and then we'll have a break. And then we'll come back at 11 o'clock for our next programming. So a couple of questions have come in from the app. And just as a reminder, if you'd like to submit a question, you can go to boston.eaglobal.org/polls. And then there will be a button for each speaker where you can submit one. So the first question, how much money is available in the EA Grants program right now, and where is that money coming from?
Okay, terrific. At the moment, it's... CEA itself is setting a cap of £500,000. And that money is coming from CEA, from donors. We'll be able to talk a bit more in the fairly near future about specifics of where that's from. We will also, though, for applications, offer it to people like the EA Community Fund, run by Nick Speckstead, and the EA Giving Group, run by Nick Speckstead, and perhaps some other kind of major donors as well. So depending on how many applicants we get, the amount of funding might be considerably higher than that as well. It's also the case that there might be some things that CEA is just unable to fund as a result of, you know, being a not UK-based nonprofit and having certain limitations on that. So again, the fact that we can offer it to other major philanthropists as well means that it might be that funding can happen for good projects, even if we're not, as an entity, legally allowed to fund that. But the answer in the first instance is £500,000.
Questions are flooding in, so I'll do my best here to pick out some good ones. One that maybe I missed, kind of a clarification question. What does EA grants mean by, quote unquote, buying people out of earning to give?
Oh, yeah. So I didn't explain that. But this is, again, it's a speculative idea. No one's tried it yet. But the thought might be that if someone's kind of earning to give and they think that's the best thing that they can be doing, but then someone else disagrees that that's the best thing that they can be doing, like a philanthropist disagrees, then you could substitute. You could say, okay, if you go and start doing direct work, which you also think is pretty good, then I will start donating to where you would have donated to otherwise. So it's kind of like a moral trade sort of thing. And so if there are people who are in that category, they think, oh, the best thing I think could still be doing is earning to give, but perhaps we or perhaps philanthropists that we can put you in touch with disagree, there might be a kind of arrangement that seems better from both people's perspectives in virtue of that philanthropist then donating to where that person would have otherwise donated to.
Gotcha. What distinctions would you draw between EA and something like impact investing? Mm. And somewhat relatedly, is CEA considering any sort of retrospective grants or prizes based on work that people have already done?
Oh, terrific. So impact investing, I think of like its own field, like charity or career choice. And so you could have an effective altruist approach to impact investing. In fact, I'd be very excited to see that happen. Impact investing is the idea of investing in for-profit organizations with the aim of doing good rather than just making a profit. It's currently both very much on the mind of many of the richest people. So often when I meet with very successful tech founders and so on in the Bay, they are really thinking about like, well, how can I do good through impact investing? And then second, it's often very poorly thought about, in my view. People make what seem to me very elementary mistakes. They think they can get just as a market return on investments and do good. I think there's good theoretical reasons for thinking that's not possible. They try to do it through investing in secondary markets, like stock, on the stock exchange. I think to a first approximation, that does very little indeed. But I think there are ways, potentially, of impact investing, ways that could be very good, especially in early stage companies. Perhaps also through the method of what I call mission hedging, where you invest in certain ways that are correlated with your money having more of an impact. So if that investment does very well, then you know you're in a world where your money is going to be able to do more good. So I would love to see an EA approach to impact investment. I know that a bunch of people have been thinking about this a bit, but there's not been a kind of a major project yet.
Question about EA grants specifically, is there sort of, can you give us a little bit more information about what the evaluation process will look like on the applications? And are there any strings attached or requirements, or sort of follow-up evaluations? What's kind of the end of that?
Terrific, great question. So yeah, there's just two stages. So one is a fairly thorough kind of application form. You have to answer a number of questions that's going to assess, how committed are you to the idea of trying to make the world as good a place as possible and taking evidence and reason very seriously and figuring out your plans to do that. What are your kind of accomplishments and achievements to date to suggest, will you be able to carry out the plans that you're intending, and then finally just a detailed description of what are these plans, what are you going to use the money for. And then that will be the first round, and then the second will be you'll have three separate interviews where you'll kind of get grilled on these plans from three different interviewers. Then when you're successful reporting, it definitely won't be the case that if your plans just don't pan out in the way that you hoped, we're not going to stop giving you funding for that. The point is that this is a kind of hits-based giving approach, and we're hoping to fund some things that are going to be really good rather than everything being like somewhat good. But we will ask for kind of reports probably every quarter, like a form to fill out and kind of meet with a mentor to discuss how things are going. And then it's possible if your product project was very successful over the period you applied for, it's possible this could continue into the future as well.
This is really exciting. There are a ton of questions coming in. We're certainly not going to be able to get to them all. So office hours is a place where people can follow up. Speakers will be having office hours. The details of that should be in your program and also on the website. So you can follow up and track Will down there and ask more questions.
My office hours are at 11 a.m. in room 110 today. So very soon afterwards, please do come. If you're interested in this, you have ideas for things you can do, you want clarification, then please do just talk to me.
So one helpful questioner answers their own question. What is the website for EA Grants? It is effectivealtruism.org/grants. So effectivealtruism.org/grants. Politics is a topic that's obviously on everybody's mind right now in a whole host of ways. Being a more kind of academic, philosophical community, people tend to think about policy choices and that sort of stuff. Do you have any interest, and do you think there is a place for the community in political leadership itself?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So, yeah, with respect to politics and policy in general, it's both very important. It's like one of the major levers in change in the world. And also like risky for kind of movement to go into. I think it would be very bad if effective altruism became like a partisan like movement in any way, if people associated it with one political party, for example. But you can definitely do kind of policy and without having to be partisan. It's like certainly possible. Especially lots of the things we care about, like global catastrophic risks, just don't naturally fit into any existing party lines. But then with respect to leadership, I think at the moment, if you tried to become, you know, a public politician on like an EA platform, you would lose, and lose pretty hard. Especially if you're saying, well, I think, you know, we should assess immigration policy and how it affects everybody, not just the, you know, maybe it's going to make our country worse off, but it'd be better for other people. It's not going to fly, I don't think. But as for whether EAs themselves should be going into politics, yeah, absolutely. I think we've had some amazing success stories already of people with an effective altruist mindset working within government and really being able to affect huge change. It's a shame because it's normally not as public what you can talk about, but some of the biggest pieces of impact, I think, from the effective altruism community have come through people in government. And it's also something that's pretty underexplored. So again, one thing that's really on my mind is getting more value of information from people pursuing a variety of different paths. And that's why I'm definitely excited by people learning more about actually how the political world works and what the clash is like between the effective altruist way of doing things and the reality of making things happen within the world of politics.
We'll have a couple of speakers here in Science Center D tomorrow on that topic, one from sort of the administrative agency side and also the, as far as I know, the only known effective altruist to have been elected to any sort of office. So we're just out of time. We're down to a 10-minute break, so thank you all for staying a little extra. Let's have another round of applause for Will McGaskill. Track him down in office hours for more questions. Thank you all very much. We'll see you back here in just 10 minutes.